But it doesn't do me a whole lot of good. It brings more fear than anything else. You have to live up to something when somebody says too many good things about you. So I'll try to rub some of that off right now. We want that boot back. You're not going to have it very long. Well, God bless. I'm so glad to be here, and I thank God for you. You know, it feels like when I come here, I don't feel like an outsider. I feel like I'm part of you. And the reason I know I'm part of you is because I've had one person that I've been staying around pretty much, and he told me, "You better not preach very long tonight, we won't eat." And the other one, his friend, without any prior warning, came up to me and said, "Hey, cut it a little short, Dot, I'm hungry." And his sounded more like a threat. So I'm going to try to honor that tonight. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew chapter 25? And I want to speak to you about something tonight that's on my heart, because I'm afraid sometimes Christians almost are afraid of going to heaven, or afraid to face the judgment of God in the day of judgment. And even some Protestants on some levels have almost made the going to face Christians in the judgment have almost made it like another purgatory. They made it to seem like as if Christians have something to dread when they face their Lord, and this is supposed to be a day of victory, a day of joy, and the greatest thing that could ever happen to Christians is to see their Lord's face, and yet there's a cloud hanging over them because it's afraid that something they did in this life be held against them then. And so I want to try to clear a little bit of that up tonight, if I can, and I pray I can. And I want to speak a little about our sins on a day of judgment, our sins on a day of judgment. And so, in turning to chapter 25 of Matthew, that's where I'll begin, Lord willing, here tonight. And I want to read verses 34 through 46, is just introducing it. And here you have, the Lord gives sort of a picture of that day. And it seems like over here on the left and on the right, you have two different groups of people. They're already separated already. And he says one thing to the ones on the right, and he says something else to the ones on the left. And so that's what we're going to take up here in verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then an about face takes place. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, the first thing he says is, Depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Same thing. Lord, when someone hungered and or thirst or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee, then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." Let's ask the Lord to bless. Father, would you please bless this word tonight, Lord? And Lord, just let us remember the things that you have said here. Lord, it'll speak to every heart. That I want everyone, oh Lord, to be focused on what God is saying to them this night. Lord, let it be profitable to all that hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I read all that just to show you that on this day, from the very start, the Lord is not putting anything on the Christian as something that would be against him. There's not one single negative word mentioned here against those on the right. But on the left, there's nothing good said. And having said that, I just want you to just take a look and see what God is saying to his people in Scripture. And not just in one place, but every place. That this day when they meet the Lord is not going to be a place where there's going to be any kind of accusations brought against them. And there's a reason for that. Because God has just pronounced upon his people such a blessed pardon that nothing ever interferes with that. They have been said to be justified before God. All these words have great meanings to them. And it takes away all the dread, all the fear, all the worry. And to where you're not looking at the Lord, your Father, your God. You know, the one that you trusted in, the one you believed in, the one who's delivered you so many times in your life. And you're not going to look at him going toward the judgment in a way that has any feeling of condemnation whatsoever. Whatsoever. You go there with a feeling, this is my Lord. He's the one that took care of me. He gave his son for me. He's freely given me everything that I could desire to live the Christian life. And you're looking upon him as your heavenly Father, your Lord, your Master, your Savior. And so it's never with a negative attitude. I don't want anybody to ever have a negative attitude about meeting the Lord. This is why we serve God. He is our Lord, our Master, our joy. It's a privilege to know him. He brings joy to our hearts and it's never anything to hurt us or destroy us. There's a love of God for his children and love of us to him. We should look forward to that day and not negative toward it at all. And so that's what we want to look at here, that Christ has already taken away every accusation that could ever be brought against. We have no accuser in that day. The judge himself has declared us to be justified. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore to every Christian, every true believer, there is therefore now no condemnation. None. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:33 and 34 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. If God justifies you, who's going to unjustify you? This is the truth of God. It is God that justified you. You are assured that the way you've been justified is not ever going to be overruled or changed by anyone else. Who is he? And it plainly says, and just falls real close, it is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Not only has Christ died for us, but he is there to intercede for us. What an amazing thing. All these words have meaning. They show the protection. They show how a Christian can be not only justified, but confident and come in the presence of the Lord. We're told, even when we pray, come boldly to the throne of grace. We're welcome. We're not people that are barging in. We're people that has a welcome from God. And so what a blessing this is. John 5:24 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me already hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. And that's forever. But it's passed, already passed, from death unto life. And what a blessing it is to have these things reassured us so that we can feel like, I want to see the Lord. I just want to look upon the one that has redeemed me, that has paid my sin debt. Thing that needs to be secure for me to go into heaven with just joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so this is wonderful verses we're reading. When you take heart in these things, let them be part of your way of thinking about God. By taking away our sins and many other precious promises, he shows that there will not even be a remembrance of them ever. He has blotted out all these things against us. No remembrance. And there's a multitude of scripture that I'm gonna bring that's there. I'm gonna bring up a few to you tonight. And Isaiah 43:25. Listen to these words. The Lord says, "I, even I." Now this is amazing. He didn't leave it up to anybody else. He has taken care of this for us in His own person. "I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." That ought to be precious to every saint. This is God's sin. Not only have I blotted them out, I don't intend to ever remember them again. I will not remember them. Now, if this was an isolated statement made one time in the book of Isaiah, we'd still believe it, but it would not have the impact that it has on us whenever the Lord will not leave it at that. He wants it reassured us over and again. That's Isaiah 43:25. Now listen, Isaiah 44:22 says this, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed thee." Jeremiah 31:34. Listen to these words. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord." "For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord." Before I read the next part of this verse, I want you to see, from the least to the greatest, there are none left out. This is every single child of God, and it pertains to every one of them. "And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now, this is what really is a thing that means more to me than anything else. No more means never. Not here, not in the world to come. When God casts away our sins, it's permanent. There is no remembrance of them in the mind of God toward us in any way of judgment or condemnation forever. Hebrews 8:12, the Lord says here, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Once again, you'd think by now we'd be convinced, but He says it even again in Hebrews 10:17. It says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now you think it's not significant for God to say something once, but then twice, then three times, and then the fourth time it said, He will not even remember our sins. And I cannot believe we can't just take it at that and say, that's a fact. That's real. This is something I can count on. Not that God didn't have to say it but one time, but He wants it firmly established in every heart that your sins, if you're a true child of God, you can look up to Him and just thank Him for the mercy and goodness of your sins being blotted out. They will never be brought back against you in the day of judgment. That day is the glory of Christ. It's the glory of the saints. Saints are said to be His friends. We're friends of the Lord. He said we were His friends. He's called in Scripture our brother, our advocate, our mediator, our intercessor. He's called our kinsman, our husband, our bridegroom, our head, our vine. He's our refuge. He's our rock. He's our Savior, our Lord, our Master. What an amazing assortment of names that the Lord has called just to show us how much He is to us and what a relationship He has to every believer. And this is to make us confident that we're just not just strangers to Him, but we're close to Him, and we have a close relationship with Him. That shows the excellency of Christ in His purposeful saving and delivering and taking care of all His children. And He has designed these words here to encourage us to have faith in the fact that He has fully redeemed us. And He has blotted away every sin, not only we have committed, but ever will commit. And this life sin is a grief to true saints. And they don't conceal their sins before God. David said in Psalms 51:3, "For I acknowledge my sin my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. That's himself. My sins are hurting me. They hurt me. They bother me. And sins bother the children of God. And we know that we've done things to offend God, and we also know His forgiveness. We know His forgiveness. And many verses could be cited for this, but I'm not going to press on that issue tonight. Our sins are ever before us, and because they're before us, yet we know in Scripture that they will not be before Him. They will not be before Him. Micah 7:19 says, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. You know what they're not ever before Him? Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah 38:17, Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The Lord's cast his sins behind. Is anybody going to go behind God's back and gather them again and bring them back to the front? Never. They're gone. God has cast them where they cannot be brought back. And because God has pardoned his sins, it would not agree with the character of God to ever bring them up again. They're pardoned. They're forgotten. They are forgotten. He does not remember them. Jeremiah 33:8, And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquity whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Over and over again, this is taught in Scripture that we have no worry about that. In fact, this is the most amazing thing to me in all of Scripture. Romans 4:6-8. Romans 4:6-8. Not only has God cast all the sins we've ever committed behind his back, not only has he cast them in the depths of the sea, not only has he forgotten them, but it says that even when they commit them, they're not even accounted to them. Listen, the imputation of what is spoken about in the book of Romans by Paul. He says, even as David also described it, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now, this is an amazing thing. He imputes righteousness to me without works. That means he's imputed good to me, to my charge, before God. Standing before God in judgment. You know where he says, I was reading all those things. I was in jail and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you gave me meat. Thirsty and you gave me drink. You did all these things. Sick and visited me. You took care of me. You watched over me. And the saints say, Lord, I don't remember all that. I don't remember all that. And he says, you did it to the least of the saints. You've done it to me. God remembers the good things, but not a single thing of the bad. He's imputed unto us even righteousness that we did not do. The righteousness of Christ himself. What an amazing thing. And here's the account before God. Suppose our name is up here and every name is there. Every name's got written underneath his name. And every believer has only one thing written on his chart of what's written of him. Nothing but righteous things. All things there are righteousness. Nothing. Nothing of condemnation. Not a charge. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Not one. There's no accuser. There's nothing negative whatever. And then, amazing thing is, that's imputed to us. It's given to us without works even. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. They've been covered. And then the next part. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. There's not a single word of any sin he's ever committed. They're gone. They're not remembered. They're blotted out. They're cast in the midst of the sea. They're cast behind his back. They're covered. All those words are used to show that there's nothing there. What a great lesson to all of us. What a blessing that I could come to the Lord and he does not look upon me as a rotten sinner. He looks upon me as a pure child of God without an accusation, without anything there that's negative or sinful. He looks upon us as those that have been washed and clean and made righteous for himself. What a blessing that is to know that and know how my sin is ever before me in this life, but they're not before God, not before him. What a beauty of forgiveness is shown in Jeremiah 15:20. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not even be found. They shall not be found. For I will pardon them when I reserve, pardon them whom I reserve. So sins are pardoned, sins are forgotten. Psalms 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And I've read you over and over so many here tonight to show you the joy a Christian ought to have. When Paul said to die is far better, he had no fear of leaving this earth to meet God. It was far better. We look forward to that. We should not be afraid to meet our Lord. What would cause us to think that our sins would be uncovered, that have been forgiven? For if they be forgiven, they're surely covered. Sin cannot be found. There will not anywhere be found a single charge against the child of God. In fact, it's like the Lord would say to every child of his, you know, he welcomes them. Come, ye welcome, blessed of the Lord, you know. It's almost like he says of us, he would say of us like he said to his own son, you know. These are my sons in whom I'm well pleased, because we're pleasing to him because of Christ. You know, if anyone is not a Christian here tonight that has no confidence that their sins have been forgiven, come to the Lord. Trust in him. Listen, the glory of coming to the Lord is the moment you trust, the moment you put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus, this ends. This ends condemnation forever. You understand how glorious that is to know that my sins are gone, vanquished, and I can look forward to meeting the Lord without a fear, but only joy and love and wanting to see his face and see the one who has delivered me from all this. How glorious it is to think of the Lord. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's delivered me. My Redeemer. That's a blessing, isn't it? You know the Lord? If you don't, I urge you to seek him. Seek him now. May God bless. Oh, Father in heaven, bless this word tonight. Lord, let it sink into our hearts, oh Lord, the glory of living godly too. Not just, oh Lord, knowing we're forgiven, but having the desire to be holy. Having the desire, oh Lord, to live like a child of God ought to live. Oh Lord, always knowing what a blessed Lord you are and how wonderful you are. And Lord, to live for you is a pleasure. Because, Lord, everything about living a godly life is so much easier than living a life that's not godly. Father, what a horror it is to see the wicked are troubled. Lord, they're always tossed to and fro. They have no rest. But, Lord, we have rest and we have, O Lord, security in Thee. So, Lord, let us look to Thee and worship Thee and know, Lord, that we're safe, O Lord, in Your arms. In Jesus' name, amen.